Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, welcome back here to Circles of Change, and I couldn't be more excited to do the following interview, as I had announced in earlier in the show, to welcome to the line Sarah von Braunick. Sarah, welcome with us today.
Thank you, Zara. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, for those of you who may not be familiar with this absolutely hallmark of a woman who's gifted the world with her gifts, Sarah is the author of Simple Abundance, A Day of Comfort and Joy. It's my pleasure today to talk about her second book, which has come out 15 years later, called Peace and Plenty. So let me give a brief introduction. In 1995, Sarah's genre-defining book, Simple Abundance, A Day Book of Comfort and Joy, spent over a year at the number one on New York Times bestseller list and has sold nearly 5 million copies to date. She's thus respected and regarded by many as a spiritual guru for women all over the world, at a time, frankly, when a woman's spirituality was often separated from her lifestyle. But, you know, Sarah then fell from the financial top to the bottom. So now, 15 years later, she's joining us today to talk about her new autobiographical book, in many ways, her own spiritual journey from prosperity to destitution to peace. Released in December, Peace and Plenty, Finding Your Path to Financial Serenity, details Sarah's own difficulties, frankly all too common these days, while being the voice of comfort to others who have lost their financial and their spiritual balance. It's a guide thus for women who've lost spiritual and financial way and to get a fresh start. Currently a resident of California, Sarah has been a magazine contributing editor and regular columnist, and also published Simple Abundance journals that have each sold millions of copies. Her first book was Mrs. Sharp's Tradition, a nostalgic look at Victorian homes. And now today, as a way to give further forward, I'll say, Sarah is the founder of the Simple Abundance Charitable Fund and supported the vision of more than 100 nonprofit organizations through over $1 million in support from her royalties, product sales, and speaking fees. So again, Sarah, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you.
The word financial serenity, isn't that an oxymoron? I mean, how do those two words ever fit together?
Well, financial serenity fits together more than financial security.
There you go.
And that's what we all think we want and we all thought we had. And, you know, we just counted on it. And but there is no such thing if you're alive, security. But I think of serenity, financial serenity, is anything that happens today, you and God can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what occurred in Tucson and just, you know, broke the hearts of all Americans.
Right.
We really are with you, and pray, keep you in our prayers. And but you know, that was such an epiphany again that continues to reverberate, because there is no security, but we can try to find serenity, especially during the dark times.
Isn't that really, really true? You know, I have in front of me your first book, Simple Abundance, and just on a lark, I happened to open up to January 13th, which is indeed today of our discussion. And wouldn't you know, it was in this first page that you coined the phrase financial security. You said, at that time, my soul whispered that what I really yearned for was not financial security, but serenity. And you know, further on, you said, and for the first time in my life, I discarded my five-year goals and became a seeker, a pilgrim, and a sojourner. So to think here we are, the coincidence of it all, now talking about your next book.
And, you know, I'm right back, you know, that could have been yesterday or
mm-hmm.
could have been today, because I'm back at that crossroad, and that is what change is, you know. All of life, when we talk about money, you know, there is a story of change. The rich become poor, the poor become rich, the downtrodden rise up, the powerful are brought down. It is all a cycle of change. And the one thing that I've discovered about myself, and I think it's also true about women particularly, is we don't handle change well because we don't allow ourselves tradition, times of transition.
Transition, yeah.
Transitions. We want the change to be immediate. So, you know, we move neighborhoods and we're still driving back 20 minutes the other way to go to the same pizza takeout.
Oh, are you kidding? I used to fly back to go get my hair cut after we moved across the country, and I'd tie it in with another business trip.
There you
honestly,
are.
Honestly.
Yes. That now that is a woman who's having trouble with transition, and that's what we do. But all of the changes in our life really, they give us warning in some ways, but they definitely give us the space for transition. And I think that we trip ourselves up when we don't work with time and space.
Well, you know, wouldn't you say also, though, it's a characteristic of women is because we just are naturally maternalistic, most of us are, for everyone else around us, that we're so focused on guiding them through things, we don't give ourselves the luxury of doing it as well.
Right. We don't have the time.
See,
it's not practical. I really can't. I don't have time to go through this right now. So I'm just going to pretend that, you know, I'm taking all the steps and that will handle it. But that's when change, you know, just will sit you down and or make you lie down and say, no, you're going to have to work with me here.
You know, you open up your new book here. Again, for our listeners who just turned in, I'm speaking with Sarah Bonbronic, and the book is Peace and Plenty, Finding Your Path to Financial Security. And you open with a lovely excerpt from a magazine and says, when money is plenty, this is a man's world. When money is scarce, it's a woman's world. And then as you read the quote, you know, the unsuspecting eye will say, yeah, that certainly characterizes the way things are. And then it's a quotation from 1932.
Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, yes.
I have always found my treasures, my acre of diamonds, in women's domestic literature, the ephemera, the magazines that really fell through the cracks of social history. So it was, you know, and the times, the Victorian times, were times of great change. Mm-hmm. But it comes to us, you know, as such a serene era. And then you go into World War I and the crash and the Great Depression and World War II. I mean, the first 100 years of American history that we as modern people look back on, we think as tranquil. But really, they were
anything but tranquil.
So why did they come down to us as periods of great tranquility and serenity? And I think it was the rich legacy of the domesticity.
Mm-hmm.
There's just such a treasure trove. It's so disheartening when you think that you know, in the 60s, I mean, Betty Friedan and the feminine mystique, she didn't write that until 1963, and the kitchen wars between Betty Crocker and Betty Friedan.
Oh, yes, yes.
Right, you know, and when you think of the fact that, you know, an entire two generations of women were not able to have the comfort of the domestic round. I've always been a working mother and a working woman, but to have the daily round and the rituals, these were my anchors. So when I was trying to wrestle with the money and the meaning of life and the idea of not having money and then having great wealth and then through, you know, the best of intentions and bad mistakes and naivete and the love of shoes, you know, I mean, I saw the money disappear and then trying to come back again. I mean, these cycles of change. So I went to what would comfort me, and that was the women's magazines. And there is such a difference in the voices of 80 years ago, because morale was taken as very, very serious.
Exactly, yes.
So
the context and the style that you wrote your first book, of course, it's kind of a chapter a day, you know, with mm-hmm. dates on it. And it was a brilliant way to get those of us that are already oversubscribed the opportunity, though, to feel a sense of accomplishment that we'd read a chapter. And that, by the way, was something we could immediately apply. And then your new book is a little bit of a different style and a different departure in that regard.
Well, yes, I'm still seasonal, you know. I talk about the thrill of thrift, and it still did come in some seasonal passages.
Exactly.
But,
yes.
But I have to tell you about Simple Abundance. When it took me 4 years to write. And the first 2 years, it was turned down by 30 publishers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was a journey in of itself. And by the time I was done with it, I remember that the manuscript was something like 981 pages.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it was cut down to a little over 500. But I asked the publisher, please don't number the pages of Simple Abundance, because no woman will think she has time to read a book over 500 pages. So please put the ribbon in so she can keep track of it.
And it's absolutely right. I never realized that. That's brilliant. What a brilliant thought.
Well, I knew that I couldn't read more than one or two pages, and you know, and I'd written it. So, that's a little insight into the woman's psyche.
Boy, and you got me, and I didn't realize it. I had mentioned to Sarah, for our listeners, before we came out on the air, that my copy is here. It's rather tattered and crumpled pages because my sister-in-law gave it to me in right after it came out. And I have moved many times and gone through a life of job changes, relocations, 2 children, 7 different dogs, you name it. And it has remained at my bedside table ever since. So I couldn't have been more excited when I realized we'd have the opportunity to get to know one another here on the air to now have the second book in the pages. But I noticed this one does have page count, so thank you very much.
This one does have page count.
Well, the responses so far, obviously, it just came out in December, so you're on the tour, I suspect. Are people indeed saying, wow, these are kind of bookends for you personally, as well as a lot of us out here?
Well, yes, and I think that women, I've gotten a lot of response for the honesty, it's said that, you know, writers are far more honest when they're writing and they don't realize how honest they are, but, you know, there would have been no point about writing about money and the meaning of life if I hadn't really been told the truth.
Explained it, yeah. Lived it yourself,
yeah.
The lived experience. And to be able to share this with such incredible credibility.
Well, you know, why do it? If, you know, I mean, all my work, I was trying to figure it out for myself, and I figured it out on the page. So that's been very, very heartening. Because about women and money, Zara, we have so much emotion wrapped up in our financial transactions, from the way we think about money to the way we act with it. And I needed to say to my reader, as to myself, you have to learn to separate emotion and money. And, you know, when I finally learned how to do that, and the only way that I learned how to do that was to realize that there is such a spiritual imperative about money. I mean, you know, it's very clear in the Bible, we're told to, you know, render to God the things that are God and render to Caesar the things that are Caesar.
Right.
And if you think of the story of the Good Samaritan, you know, we don't remember the Good Samaritan because he stopped by the side of the road. We remember the Good Samaritan because he took the injured man to a hotel,
right,
and paid the bill.
And money, yeah.
That's why we can do so much good when we think of money as a spiritual tool. And we learn both the spiritual laws of money and the man-made laws. And that's what women don't realize that when you go back to the Great Depression, home economics was the new passion. And, you know, we've been criticized. Women have been criticized as being supermarket shoppers by the Wall Street types. And that always drives me crazy because I say, yes, and thank God we are, because women know not just the price, but women know the value of.
Well, and absolutely, for having had a career as I have enjoyed for over 30 years in corporate America, let me tell you, when there was a budget meeting, step aside, one of the masters is going to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And you could watch it to see the difference of capability. I know our men who are listening today are about to call in, but let me tell you guys, step back or learn to partner a different way.
Yeah, learn to partner a different way.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, we've been talking about your book, of course, in the context, I think, primarily here of North America, Western culture centered, but of course, your first book, and I expect also your second book, is going to reach way beyond our blessed shores.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of really getting in the hands of women, men, women, children that are certainly nowhere near as well off as we are in this country, that must be so gratifying for you to have that part of your mission, because I know it is.
Yeah, yes, it is. I had a wonderful experience a few years ago. I was contacted by somebody who had worked at the United Nations, and she wanted to have lunch with me. And I was very honored, and she took me on a tour of the United Nations. And she talked to me about how simple abundance, the idea of authenticity, was used when the economists were trying to help emerging countries. And women in emerging countries, and the idea that they could bring their authentic gifts to commerce was, you know, so wonderful to them.
Now, and, Sarah, if I might interrupt. So here you are, a writer, that your previous book was about Victorian homes and nostalgia,
right,
and you're now interacting on global change in economic developing countries with someone from the UN? I mean, did you ever have to wake yourself up and say, isn't this an out-of-body experience?
I did. And
oh, my goodness.
And so the woman said, you know, was that your intent when you wrote Sexual Abundance? And I looked at her and I said, you know, actually the only woman's life I was trying to change at
was
that
mine.
Moment was mine.
And so, I mean, I can imagine if I was put in that view, I'd probably say, you know, another Oscar award-winning performance where you give the, you know, the foreign language smile where you bob your head and you grin and you say, I have no idea what she even just said to me.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that comes back to us, too, and I'm sure this will now happen with your second book. Here you've given birth to this great message that, as you said, it was really a method of self-healing, right, and re-anchoring you. And you almost have no idea where this one's going to take you, but you're on that path and you're going for it.
I am, because in the same way that I knew I was meant to bring simple abundance into the world, I knew that I needed to write Peace and Plenty. Mm-hmm. I started it for myself, but when I finished it, I realized that, you know, it's God's book. And my only prayer for the book is that it reaches, you know, every woman who needs comfort and needs solace and needs encouragement.
Well, to think that, as you said, you wrote 4 years to write the first book, 2 years turned down by 30 publishers. I venture to suggest that that was not the case here with your new book.
No. And I went back to it's Grand Central Publishing, but Grand Central used to be Warner. So yeah. I went back to my original publisher.
Very, very good. Well, and I'm sure that it will take you on that path to provide journals just like your first book. And the fact that you also had chosen to donate proceeds to help nonprofits, this whole idea of giving further forward, just an outstanding story.
Oh, well, every woman's life is an outstanding story, and I think that in times of trouble and darkness and fear, we all we need to know is just to take the next step and to keep looking, you know, up to the light, because change will bring both darkness and light and shadow. But, you know, we are never alone.
You got it. That's right. Well, my guest today, it's been a pleasure to have Sarah von Braunick on the show. Her two books, Simple Abundance, A Daybook of Comfort and Joy, and the newest book released in December, Peace and Plenty, Finding Your Path to Financial Serenity. You can also track Sarah, her blogging, all those people that comment and support the journey she is on at www.simpleabundance.com. Well, Sarah, I want to say I hope it's not going to take another 15 years for you to grace us with another book, but in the meantime, I'm going to make the most of now two books that are on my bedside stand.
Oh, thank you so much.
You bet. Have a great day.
Same to you. Thank you.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.